Nowadays, basically the entire Fortune 500 is filled with highly scalable tech companies. Whether it's enterprise SaaS companies, consumer websites, or tech infrastructure providers, they all have one thing in common. They only have to build once, and they can scale to infinity. One company that's basically the antithesis to all of this is Caterpillar. They're not a big tech company, they're a big machinery company. They serve blue-collar workers all around the world, helping with mining, excavating, building, transporting, logging, warehousing, farming, and much, much more. You've probably seen the name Cat on some construction equipment in passing, but I don't think you realize just how dominant Caterpillar really is. In fact, when it comes to heavy machinery, there's really only two players who control the entire market. Caterpillar controls 39.33%, Deere & Co. controls 35.68%, and everyone else only controls 25%. You could even argue that Caterpillar is more ubiquitous than big tech. In fact, Caterpillar's machinery is sold in 192 countries. For perspective, there are only 195 countries in the world, and there are way more than 3 countries that have completely banned services like Google, Facebook, and YouTube. Speaking of big tech products, Caterpillar has actually been making their own smartphones for over 10 years now. Not only are these smartphones super durable, but they also come with super unique use cases such as measuring air quality, thermal imaging, and satellite connectivity. Another fun fact is that Caterpillar owns the trademark for their iconic yellow paint color, and you can actually buy Caterpillar yellow at Home Depot. But anyway, this unprecedented industrial dominance has made Caterpillar into a Fortune 100 company that's worth $176 billion. In fact, Caterpillar pulls in more profit than Coca-Cola and MasterCard. And keep in mind, MasterCard has 100% gross margins. So here's the untold story of the biggest industrial giant in the world, Caterpillar. If you're interested in deeper dives, interviews with insiders, and exclusive tech analysis, consider subscribing to our free weekly newsletter. But anyway, taking a look back, the story of Caterpillar takes us all the way back to 1849 to a man named Benjamin Holt in Concord, New Hampshire. From the very beginning, Ben was no stranger to manual labor and working with your hands. In fact, his father owned a local sawmill, and Ben and his 11 siblings all had to help out however they could. This included things like readying hardwoods for shipping, inspecting quality, and ensuring timely delivery. By the time Ben was a young adult, he was in charge of the sawmill's shipping operation, while his brothers led the sales and delivery effort out in California. Ben did this till he was 34, by which point both of his parents passed away. So he hired out the shipping operation and moved to California as well in 1883. Ben didn't just venture out on his own though. The Holds were an extremely close-knit family, and the first thing Ben did when he arrived in California was start a new company with his brothers called the Stockton Wheel Company. The business specialized in treating wood for the dry valleys of the West, and by this point, the brothers were pretty well off. In fact, to have the best wood treatment services around, the brothers would invest $65,000 into factory equipment, the equivalent of $2 million today. And within no time, the Stockton Wheel Company would become a sizable business, with 25 men on payroll and 2 buildings. This gave Ben quite a bit of free time to start experimenting with his next venture, which came in 1890 in the form of a steam traction engine. This tractor was massive, coming in at 24 feet and weighing in at 48,000 pounds. If you've ever wondered why tractors and heavy machinery have such massive wheels, well, Ben is why. While making this 48,000 pound monstrosity, Ben realized that the tractor was sinking into the ground due to its own weight. And his solution to this problem was to simply slap on massive wheels slash tracks so that the weight would be better distributed. Also, if you've ever wondered how the company got the name Caterpillar, well, the story goes that the company photographer Charles Clements saw the conveyor belt-like track rising and falling and noted how the machine moved like a massive caterpillar. Ben really liked this observation. He liked it so much that he named the tractor Caterpillar. Actually bringing the Caterpillar to market, however, was a much longer journey. You see, thousands of engineers and designers had already been trying to bring a track-type tractor to market. In fact, there were already over 100 patents for this technology. But while these tractors worked well in controlled environments, they always failed on the field. Ben would spend the next 14 years of his life trying to make the jump from the test grounds to the real grounds. I should also note that all three of Ben's brothers in California died during this time, so he wasn't exactly having the best of days. But nonetheless, he would persevere, and in 1904, he would demonstrate the world's first commercially viable track-type tractor. Ben would go on to sell his first tractor for $5,500, which is the same as $185,000 today. Despite the high price, the Caterpillar was still 6 times as cost-effective as horse-drawn combines, so the Caterpillar was a massive hit and extremely profitable. What really accelerated the company's growth, however, was World War I. It turns out that the Caterpillar was perfect for hauling artillery and supplies across rough battlegrounds. In fact, the Caterpillar tractor is what inspired the creation of tanks. The success of Caterpillar, however, basically died with Ben in 1920. You see, after the war came to a close, demand for the military Caterpillar fell off a cliff. Ben, of course, tried to pivot back to the farming industry, but most farmers felt that Ben's military-oriented tractors were too big and bulky for farming. To just keep the company's operations afloat, Ben would end up needing to borrow heavily during his final days. And shortly after Ben's death in 1920, bankers would take over the Holt Manufacturing Company. Bankers put one of their own guys in charge, a man named Thomas A. Baxter. Baxter's first order of business was cutting out all of the oversized tractors from the company and introducing smaller farmer-friendly tractors. But this only took the company so far and wasn't nearly enough to turn around the company. You see, while Ben focused on the military market, a new competitor had sprung up called the CL Best Gas Tractor Company, formed by Clarence Leo Best in 1910. The opportunity for the business was simple: focus on the underserved farming industry as the big players focused on military equipment. So Best was very much the underdog going into the 1910s, but coming out of the 1910s, he basically owned the farmer tractor industry. Ben wasn't oblivious to this development. In fact, the duo spent $1.5 million, or $31 million today, in legal fees fighting each other about IP theft, patent infringement, and trademarks. The only party that came out on top, though, was the lawyers. As an outsider, though, Baxter wasn't all that interested in fighting this personal battle. So he started looking for other ways he could turn around the company, and that's when he heard about the Federal Highway Act of 1921. The government was looking to spend $1 billion, or $17 billion today, on building out the nation's highway infrastructure. To Baxter, this seemed like a gold mine, and he would immediately pivot the company into producing road construction equipment. And now that he wasn't directly competing against Best in the tractor industry, Baxter was actually able to work out a merger agreement between the two, leading to the creation of the Caterpillar Tractor Company in 1925. The company began trading on the San Francisco Stock Exchange on August 17, 1925, meaning that Caterpillar has been public for nearly 100 years. As part of the merger, though, Baxter had to cede the CEO title to Clarence Leo Best, who would lead the company for the next 26 years. So, ironically, the man who revitalized the Topo giant was actually Ben's number one competitor. Best would go on to do a phenomenal job. He would simplify the tractor lineup to just 5 SKUs and offer the best of both companies. He offered 3 tractors, the 2-ton, 5-ton, and 10-ton from what was originally the Holt Manufacturing Company. And he offered the Caterpillar 30 and a Caterpillar 60 from what was originally the CL Best Gas Tractor Company. It was also Best who oversaw the creation of Caterpillar's iconic yellow color. The idea was to simply find the color that was visible from the farthest distance so that drivers could easily identify construction equipment. And with that, in 1931, Caterpillar changed the color of their machines from gray to highway yellow. Just like with Ben though, the event that really propelled Caterpillar forward was war, more specifically, World War II. Caterpillar became the go-to company that constructed military airfields and facilities. In fact, Caterpillar was the 44th highest paid government contractor during the war. Best didn't make the same mistake as Ben though, he didn't bet the farm on the war, no pun intended. Caterpillar continued to be a massive player within the farming industry and the road construction industry, which simply exploded after the war, leading us to the modern day Caterpillar. If you're wondering how Caterpillar managed to stay dominant over all these decades and likely thousands of innovations, the answer is twofold. For starters, virtually all of Caterpillar's customers are legacy Fortune 500 companies or governments, both of whom move extremely slowly. You can't just convince these guys to switch over to your product overnight. You need to spend several years or even decades building relationships with the guys in power at these companies and governments before they switch over. That is simply not feasible nor interesting for most startups and young companies, who'd much rather pursue fast-growing, wide-open opportunities like tech and AI. With that being said though, we have seen a few dozen serious players pop up over the past 7 years, and that brings us to Caterpillar's second strategy for maintaining dominance, acquisitions. Since 1951, Caterpillar has made 39 notable acquisitions, averaging a major acquisition every other year. The terms for most of these deals are kept private, but one notable acquisition that was public was their acquisition of Buceres in 2011. Buceres was a leader in producing surface mining equipment used for coal, copper, iron ore, oil sands, and other minerals. And Caterpillar swallowed the entire company for a cool $8.8 billion. While Caterpillar is ruthless when it comes to business deals, they really don't have any controversies despite being around for over 100 years. Likely the biggest controversy that you'd be able to find about Caterpillar is that they've run into some trouble with the IRS for trying to minimize their tax bill, but that's basically applicable to every company in the entire world. Putting that aside though, Caterpillar has historically been quite diligent when it comes to social responsibility. They've been helping out with the disaster recovery events since the 1906 San Francisco earthquake. And they've helped supply backup power for cities and countries around the world from New York to Brazil. They've also been a massive supporter of the Red Cross for 70 years and have been a champion of environmental efforts, unlike most of their industrial counterparts. As you can see, Caterpillar is for the most part just a boring background company doing boring background things. But that's also their biggest strength. That's why they've been able to stay dominant for a full century and why they're still a Fortune 100 company in the modern tech world. And that is the untold story of Caterpillar. If you're interested in having companies pay you, check out our bond investing platform, Silo, in the description below. But until then, I'm Hari, and I'll see you guys on the next one.